Okay, we're in John chapter 8. And last time we were together, we looked at this the wonderful story of how Jesus forgave a woman who had been caught in adultery in the very act, how he had challenged those men. He was without sin, let him cast the first stone. And we discovered that, I'm going to turn myself down a little bit, I feel too loud. We discovered that no one threw a stone. They all left, from the smallest, from the oldest to the youngest. And Jesus was left with this woman, blessing this woman. They didn't care about her, remember? They didn't care about her at all. All they cared about was tripping up Jesus. And sometimes people, they care about their religion, and they care about their rules, and they care about their regulations, but they don't care about people. And God expects us to be a people who care for people. That doesn't mean that we excuse sin, doesn't mean we make sin make light of sin, but it means that sin can be forgiven. You know, Jesus said, neither do I condemn you, but he also said, go and sin no more. And then he made this statement at the end of that situation. He said, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Wow, this is a beautiful verse of scripture. And it's a verse of scripture that stands out because Jesus declares that I am the light of the world. And he makes it so plain that if you follow him, you will not walk in darkness. You will have the light of life. Isn't that wonderful to know that there is light? Isn't that wonderful that he lights up the dark, that he shows the way, that he reveals the truth? You know, light's a wonderful thing to have. You know when the power goes out at night and you don't have any lights. And now in our modern day and age, people got generators and different ways of generating light. I've got my batteries and curly lights. You can run curly lights for days on batteries. But it's wonderful to have a little bit of light, isn't it? When you're walking in the dark and you can't see, it's not a very nice experience. When Marie and I first moved back to Nova Scotia for the first time, of course, we were in the dark in two ways. One night the power went out and it was a black, black night. And the other one, we were in the dark because we were wrecked and stoned and everything else. And one night, it was in the middle of the night, the power had gone out and we were wasted. And Marie and I were upstairs and I was trying to get her to the bathroom. And it was quite a job. I can't see, I can't see, I can't see. Boom, and she was hitting into stuff and everything. Because I wasn't in much better shape than she was. We were totally in the dark. And my father, I could hear him in the bedroom laughing his head off at the racket we were making trying to find our way through the house. It's an awful thing to be in the dark. Two ways. One, to be in the dark physically, but it's another thing to be in the dark spiritually. And that's where we were. We were blind spiritually. But Jesus is the light of the world. And what a difference Jesus has made in our lives when he stepped in and he turned the light on, as it were. And when the light comes on, there's things you don't want to see. When the light comes on, we see ourselves as we really are. Our sin is exposed. When the light comes on, not only do we see our sin and our exposure to it, and that's a grievous thing because suddenly we realize we've got big problems. And one of the things that when Jesus was challenging these Pharisees and these religious rulers is he was turning the light on. And they didn't like it. They didn't like what he was saying. They didn't want to hear what he was saying. He turned the light on those ones who brought the woman caught in adultery in the very act. And when he turned the light on them, they all left one by one. They walked away because they were under deep conviction. They couldn't stay in the light. What they should have done was fallen before Jesus Christ. What they should have done was acknowledged him as Lord and Savior. But they didn't do that. They walked away. Yes, they were convicted, but they weren't convicted to repentance. They were convicted, so they tried to get as far away from the light as possible. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, it tells us that those who want to continue in their sins, that they stay in the dark. They remain in the dark. Let their deeds be exposed. They don't want to see things as they really are. But we need the light. We need the light to show us what we are. And sometimes that's not a pleasant picture. And even today, sometimes God puts his searchlight on us and suddenly we're convicted. That happened to you? Happens to me. Suddenly we see ourselves as we are, and it's not very pretty. But thank God that he can do this in our lives, because Jesus doesn't shine the light on the problem for nothing. He shines the light on the problem so they can be exposed, so they can be dealt with in our experience, and we can be set free. God is so And so Jesus says, I am the light of the world. We see that in the previous story, how he exposed things as they really were. He showed and revealed the truth of who he was and what their sin was. And that's the other part of the light. The light not only shows us our sin and shows us where we are, but the light reveals to us Jesus Christ and who he is. And when we see him as he is, wow, the light really comes on. Brighter than the brightest sun is the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. More awesome than the most awesome thing you could find on this planet or even the stars beyond. When the astronomers look through their telescopes and look farther and farther and try to see a little bit more and get a little deeper glimpse of the greatness of the universe and its vastness, and at the same time, the light of the Son of God is shining on this planet. And that light is available. It's available to a lost and broken world. When we get exposed to the light of the Son of God, sadly and tragically, many people run from that light and they look to hide from it. All even to the point at the end of the age, when all things come to their close, when the stars are falling, when all the universe is being folded up, the Bible tells us that men, all men, great and small, will seek to call on the rocks and the hills, to fall on them and hide them from the face of him who sits on the throne, the face of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? In Revelation chapter 6, hiding from the light instead of coming to the light. And here Jesus says, whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the light of the world, Jesus said. I'm not the light of just Palestine. I'm not the light of just the Israelites or the Jews, but I am the light of the world. He's Cape Breton. Is Jesus Christ. It's not our fiddle music. It's not our heritage. Those things are not the light of the world. They're great, they're wonderful, but they are not the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. He's the light of Cape Breton. And praise God, because he's the light of the world, he can shine in the darkest corners. He can shine in any place. But oh, that we are willing to say, Lord, turn the lights on. Show me Jesus. Reveal Jesus to me. And Lord, in that process, show me my sin, oh God. Because it says, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There's an ownership here. It's not just a light shining somewhere far off, but they will have the light of life. That light will be yours. Jesus will be yours, and you will be his. That old hymn says, I am his, and he is mine. And praise God that we have the light of the world, that Jesus Christ is shining tonight. I know many of you could say, once I was blind, but now I can see. Isn't there a contrast between the two? Isn't the darkness really great once you realize how dark it is? And the light, isn't it incredible once you realize how bright the light is? It is true. There is darkness and light. It isn't all gray. It isn't fog. It's clarity. It's reality. It's truth that sets you free, as Jesus says a little later on in John chapter 8. And so as he deals with this woman, and as he exposes men's sin, but he exposes his mercy and his grace and his wonderful character, so we can see the wonder of Jesus Christ. And as he continues his discourse with the Jewish leaders, we find their reaction to the light of the world. And it's a tragic one. And sadly, there are many others who choose instead of coming to the light. And the Bible tells us so that we come to the light so that our deeds might be exposed, that our deeds may be wrought or done by God. That we who Christ are able to say that our deeds are wrought in God. That it is God who has given us this light of the world. And that we then our conduct is transformed. So the response of the Pharisees when he gives such a beautiful invitation. When he says, here I am, I'm shining. Here I am, come to the light. It's shining for thee. John 8:13, the Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness of yourself, and your witness is not true. Oh, the darkness. Oh, the cowering in the dark and the cry that they make to say, you don't know what you're talking about. You're telling us lies. You're nothing but a liar. This was the response of men in the face of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. You bear witness of yourself, and your witness is not true. They were accusing him that he had no backup for statements. What had he already done?
Miracles.
They were testimonies. He said, my works testify of who I am. Isn't we saw that in John chapter 6 as he spoke to them. Where else had he said there was a testimony? Who else had testified of Jesus? John the Baptist had been the witness of Jesus Christ. Who else had testified of Jesus? The prophets, the Old Testament testifies of him. He said later on, search the scriptures for them. He said this in John chapter 5. Search the scriptures for them. You think you have eternal life. And there they which testify of me. The word of God, the Old Testament bore witness. Who else bore witness? The Holy Spirit in the person of a dove that descended upon Jesus. And who else? One more biggie. The Father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In whom I am well pleased. You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Guess who was not telling the truth? It was the Pharisees. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. He said, listen, if I was all by myself, my witness would still be true. No wonder when I love that passage, when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus and they came back empty-handed. Why haven't you arrested him? Never did a man speak like this man. The words of Jesus are powerful. I can remember the first time reading the scriptures for myself and the pages, the words leaping off the page and dropping into my soul and causing change and transformation power in my life. Because the word of the Lord is, the words of Jesus are powerful. And they're powerful tonight. They're just as powerful tonight as they were when they were spoken 2,000 years ago. The word of the Lord endures forever. So even he said, if I bore witness of myself, it would be enough. It would be enough. For I know where I come from, and I know where I'm going. There's a certainty in the words of Jesus Christ. There was no fishing around. It wasn't, well, maybe. It wasn't, well, there's a possibility. It wasn't, well, you know, you believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I want to believe, and maybe we can all just kind of, everybody will get along, and everything will be all right in the end. There wasn't any of that mushy-mushy stuff. It was clear, it was plain, and it was truth, and it was light that was shining. The Word of God is a light to our feet and a lamp for our path. Praise God that Jesus said, I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going. Praise the Lord. We know where we came from. We came from Adam, right? Jesus came from heaven. But hallelujah, I can say tonight with a certainty, the same certainty that Jesus said, I know where I'm going. Isn't that wonderful? I can say that, and it's not a lie. I can say that I'm not being deceived because Jesus Christ has told me the way. Because he is the light of the world. And I'm following him, and I will not walk in darkness, but I have the light of life. And so do you if you've trusted in Jesus Christ. What a blessed assurance we have. He said, I know where I've come from, I know where I'm going. But you do not know where I come from. And you don't know where I'm going. And it turns out, as he says a little later, you don't know where you're going either. Uncertainty. A world full of uncertainty. In which a man, and I told him that I was saved. And he vehemently, this one of these men said, you don't know that you're saved. Nobody knows that they're saved. I said, I know. I know exactly why I'm saved too. Because Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Because of what he has done at the cross, I am saved. Thank God that our hope is not resting in our works or in what we have done or what we hope to do, but we look to one sacrifice for sins forever through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. You judge according to the flesh. Jesus accused them. He says, listen, you're judging from a worldly perspective. You're judging from a sinful nature. You're not seeing things clearly. You're in the dark. You think you're in the light, but you're in the dark. And it's a pretty tragic thing when somebody thinks that everything's okay when they're not. It's a terrible deception. And yet, the world is full of that kind of deception. Where a young person thinks, I can do this and it's not going to harm me. I can walk in this direction and it's not going to cause me any trouble. And in the end, of course, what does it cause? Trouble. Sin always brings trouble. But Jesus said, you're judging according to the flesh. Blind eyes that can't see the truth or can't see the way. And yet the arrogance to think that they do know the way. Now, Jesus said something interesting here. He says, I'm judging no one. What did he mean by that? I'm judging no one. At this time, he had come to save. But he was coming. He will come to judge the world. But at this point, he was calling for salvation. Did he condemn the woman who was caught in adultery? No. He was drawing her to himself. And so he says, I'm not standing in judgment over you right now. I'm just telling you the truth. Now, here's what happens. When you tell people the truth, do you know what the first thing they say to you? What you're doing? You're judging me. I tell them, no, I'm not judging. I'm just telling you the truth. The truth. Jesus said, my words will judge you in the last day. Now, if I give my own opinions, that's not going to matter. But if I give the word of the Lord and people take offense with the word of God, it's not judging them. If it was judging them, they'd be cast into hell if they were still lost in their sins. But it's revealing the truth so that they would not be judged, so they would not be condemned, so that they might be rescued. Praise the Lord. It's not judging people to speak the truth. Yet he says, if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law, the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Very similar to what we saw in John chapter 5. Then they said to him, where is your Father? Jesus, know me nor my Father. If you'd known me, you would have known my Father also. And so, Jesus is giving them revelation. He's giving them precious truths. He's pouring out his soul before them, and they are rejecting it. Plain and simple. Friends, don't be overly discouraged when people reject the truth of the Word of God. Don't be overly discouraged. Jesus was there. He knows what it's like. He's experienced that. He didn't stop them. It didn't stop them from proclaiming the truth. And some ended up getting saved. People, there were some Jews that trusted in the Lord. Not all of them rejected the gospel message. But praise the Lord that some have. But in the same time, remember, keep proclaiming the truth. Some will respond to it. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. They wanted to lay hands on him. They wanted to kill him, even back then, early in his ministry. Further, and really, what I've titled this message is, don't die in your sins. Don't die in your sins. The witness take us into the light so that we do not die in our sins. Jesus said to them, again, I'm going away, and you will seek me, and will what? Die in your sin. And where I go, you cannot come. Boy, this is a profound statement. This lays the cards on the table. This makes it plain. He said, I am going away. Now, where was he going away to? He was going to heaven. He was going to go to the cross. And but he says, you will seek me, but you will die in your sin. Doesn't the Bible say, if you seek for me with all your heart, you'll find me? But you see, he was speaking to the Pharisees who were rejecting the light that was in front of them. And they would claim to still be seekers of the truth. And they would wonder about Jesus Christ. But instead of trusting in him, instead of responding to the light of the world that was in front of them, instead of that, you will die in your sins. And if you die in your sins, what does he say? Where I go, you cannot come. Listen, it doesn't matter how many ages pass. It doesn't matter how many philosophers stand up and preach and speak and make nice sounding words. The end of the story is this. If people do not respond to Jesus Christ and do not trust him as their Savior, they will die in their sins. And if they die in their sins, they cannot go to heaven. There's a great lie on the go. I ventured this week that if you went to every funeral in Cape Breton this week, it might probably be a few dozen, and at every funeral, everybody died and went to heaven. Am I right? They preach it in every church. Everybody. So if it continues, nobody dies and goes to hell. Nobody does. But what does Jesus say? If you die in your sins, you cannot go where I am. You cannot go where I am. That's the naked truth. It's hard to swallow. It's hard to swallow when we have loved ones who are unsaved. It's hard to swallow. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's the truth. If it wasn't true, then Jesus wasted his time going to the cross. Well, what did they say? So the Jews said, will he kill himself because he said, where I go, you cannot come? He said, are you going to go kill yourself? Because then we wouldn't be able to follow you because we're not going to kill ourselves. But in the reality was, they were killing themselves. They were really, spiritually, killing themselves. They were thinking, ha, he's going to go kill himself. Well, we wouldn't follow him in that. We're not going to go where he is because he's killing. He sounds like he's going to kill himself. But they were the ones who were killing themselves spiritually. They were committing spiritual suicide. Because here was the bread of life in front of them. Here was the light of the world in front of them. And they refused to forgiveness of sins. He said to them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Now isn't he making it plain who he is? He's not pussyfooting around. He's making it clear. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Now he makes it plain, doesn't he? If you do not believe, if you do not accept me, if you do not trust me, you will die in your sins. Isn't that plain? Oh, my friends, we have a message to bring to the world. It's not an easy message sometimes because it is black and white. There is hell and heaven. There is salvation and there is being eternally lost. And it comes down to whether we die in our sins or not. That's what it comes down to. If we die in our sins, we cannot be saved. If you do not believe I am he, you will die in your sins. Now, the converse of that is true. If you do believe that he is who he says he is, if you do trust in him, what happens? You don't die in your sins. You don't. Why? Because our sins are forgiven. Because we believe in him. Because we trust in him. That we can believe tonight and have the blessed assurance of eternal life. Oh, praise the Lord. What a Savior we have. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. What a wonderful Savior is he. Thank you, Lord. Thank you tonight, Lord Jesus, that you're still the light of the world. Thank you, Lord, that right now people are believing in Christ and being saved. Thank you, Jesus. And you know, it's our passion and our heart's desire that Cape Bretoners be saved, that family members be saved, Lord, that their eyes would be opened, Lord, that they would not live in darkness and stumble in the dark, but that, Lord, that their eyes would be opened to see that you are the light of the world, and that they could come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and as the Word of God says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Thank you, Lord, for the gospel. Thank you for its power. They said to him, who are you? Boy, they sound like broken records, don't they? How often to these men? And yet, he was gracious enough to keep on answering. Not just once, not just twice, but over and over and over again, he was gracious enough. May we be as gracious to lost people. May we be as gracious to the arrogant ones. May we be as gracious as Jesus was to these ones who were so belligerent. May God give us great grace and great love and mercy because their eternal souls hang in the balance. I've often said, if you actually saw the chains that people are wearing, you would have no room for bitterness and hatred or strife against them, but you would have pity and compassion and a willingness to speak the truth into their lives no matter what the cost. Jesus said, just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. He said, I'm saying it over again. I told you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world the things which I have heard from him. He says, I've been telling it to you, and I'm going to keep on telling it to you, the very things that the Father has given me to say to you. They did not understand. He spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He. And I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things." When would they lift up the Son of Man? Crucified Him. Later on in John's Gospel, it actually defines lifting up. And they knew what lifting up meant. Because it said, when He said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." This signified the way that He would die. In John, I believe it's in John chapter 12. And so this term, being lifted up, is a term of being crucified, being put to death. We go back to John chapter 3. Remember where Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life." And so when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but my Father taught me, I speak these things. That there would be a great conviction come. And maybe some of those Pharisees did believe it that day. We know that Joseph of Arimathea, that his tomb was used. We know that Nicodemus came by night in John chapter 3. And that he defended Jesus before the Sanhedrin. And the Bible actually tells us that some of the Pharisees believed in Him. Not all of them, but some. And praise God for everything. In the great event of the crucifixion, we know that the skies became dark. We know that there was a great earthquake. We know that tombs were opened and dead men walked. We know that it was not done in a corner. As Paul said to King Agrippa, these things were done. And God revealed there at the cross the mighty power of God. As that earthquake, that curtain that was in veil that was in the temple was ripped in two. God did mighty miracles even there at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. I do nothing of myself, but my Father taught me, I speak these things. And He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him. Oh, the blessed communion that Jesus had with His Father. The walk that He had in humble dependence upon the Father, day by day, hour by hour. All of that was not just that Jesus lived that way, but it was an example for you and for me that we must live in the same dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ as Jesus lived in dependence upon the Father. That's the way we are to live. I can do nothing of myself. Everything that the Father tells me to do, that's what I do. Is that the way you live? Is that your heart's desire? Is that the passion of your experience? Oh Lord, let me walk with You. Has the Father left you alone? Has He left you alone? I will never leave you nor forsake you. All the promises and all the Spirit's power that came upon Jesus Christ, the same Holy Spirit that came upon the Lord Jesus when He was baptized, has come upon you if you're a believer in Him. Same Holy Spirit, same power, same ability to be guided by the Lord. The power of the Spirit can work in you. And so the witness of Jesus Christ goes on through the people of God in this day and in this age. God still works. God is still powerful. John 8:30, as He spoke these words, many believed in Him. And Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, "You abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed." We're going to stop there tonight. As we consider the wonder of Jesus, the wonder of the light of the world, that the words of God are still powerful. They can still be spoken by you into the lives of other people, and God can transform them. You know, it's one thing to say, "Well, I'm going to befriend people. I'm going to try and be nice to people." But if all you are is nice to people and you don't speak the truth into their lives, the Word of God has that power. The Bible says the word is like a hammer that breaks the rock in two. Depend on the truth. Know the truth. Declare the truth. Live in dependence on the Father like Jesus Christ did. So that we can declare to a lost and broken world. That we can make it plain to them. If you die in your sins, you can't go to heaven. If you miss Jesus Christ, if you do not believe in Him, if you do not trust in Him, you will be lost for eternity. But if you trust in Him, you will be forgiven. You can be saved and you can know it. Keep on sharing that message. Repeat yourself 1,000 times. It's worth it to declare it, because at some point somebody will get saved. They will. Even if you in weakness, truth, don't count on somebody else to share it with people. God's put you in the in front of other people. Share the gospel. Do it in love, but do it. Somebody will accuse you. Somebody will call you down. Somebody will treat you wrongfully. Jesus said it would happen anyway. But that's okay. Declare the truth. Because Jesus Christ is still the light of the world. And following Him puts us in the light all the way into the glories of heaven. And not following Him puts us in the dark all the way into the flames of hell. It's one or the other, but we have a Savior. A Jesus who could stand in the midst of the crowd and declare the truth. Hallelujah. I am so glad tonight that once I was blind and now I can see. This morning we broke bread and Nora brought along the elements so that we could break bread here tonight as well. In remembering the Lord's death. And the fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And that He rose again. And that He has given Himself away to us. He gave Himself. He was pouring His life into these, even these Pharisees as He was sharing the truth. But oh, He gave Himself away completely at the cross. There was nothing held back. And the communion feast is a remembrance that Jesus gave Himself away to us, for us. So as we take the bread and cup tonight, we are reminded that Jesus Christ has given Himself to us and that we have received Him. There, as they sat around that table many years ago at the Last Supper, as Jesus handed the elements to them, they reached out and they took them. It was symbolic. The fact that we have reached out by faith. And we have taken Jesus Christ in. We have taken Him in. Body, His body broken, His blood shed.